for us.
Taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 17 through 24. Nevertheless, each one should retain the place in life that the Lord assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? Then he should not become circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. Each one should remain in the situation which he was in when God called him. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you, although if you can gain your freedom, do so. For he who was a slave when he was called by the Lord is the Lord's freeman. Similarly, he who was a free man when he was called is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brothers, each man, as a response to God, should remain in the situation God called him.
Thank you, Ken. I recall when I was a young teenager, there was a missionary that came to our church to share with us, and I had heard something and probably didn't hear it correctly, but this is what I heard. When the missionary was kind of giving a call to people in the church, is there anyone here that senses God's call and wants to be a missionary or a pastor? I want you to step forward and raise your hand. God's called you to something very special. And the missionary went on and talked a little bit and gave me the impression that if you weren't called to be a missionary, and I wasn't at that point, by the way, missionary or a pastor, then you were in some way called to something second rate. And it upset me. I was ticked off because God had called me to be a farmer. And I believe God had called me to be a farmer until he called me to be a pastor. But I believe God had called me to be a farmer. And I thought, you know, as a farmer, I want to serve God with all my heart. And I feel God's called me to that. And in that call, I think I can be used by God to do some wonderful things. Now, my guess is the missionary probably meant that, but I didn't hear that. I heard that the call, in a sense, was just meant for those who are in some kind of a professional ministry, and anything else was kind of like, eh, whatever. And it bothered me. It bothered me. You know, I was thinking today of, you know, Labor Day, and you know, some people wonder, why do we celebrate Labor Day? Well, it was a celebration of organized labor, and it kind of blossomed into a national celebration and holiday. And I think as we gather here on this day, especially after what we have gone through concerning the whole coronavirus pandemic and everything else, we ought to celebrate labor. We ought to celebrate the fact that we've had opportunities to work and thrive in this country, and realizing that there are some right now that aren't thriving so well in light of what's been going on. And I think it's something worth celebrating and taking some time off to say, you know what? We've been blessed. We've been blessed. In some very marvelous ways we have been blessed. And I wanted to talk a little bit this morning the difference between occupation and vocation. Because there's a difference. I think when this missionary was talking to me, I was thinking occupation. And maybe the missionary was talking more about vocation. You know, the Latin root for vocation, vocatio or vocatio, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, I'm not a Latin expert, but it means a call, a summons, a call. So vocation comes from that. And there's a difference between our occupation, which is the job that we have that provides the bread and butter for us to do what we do, and our vocation as Christians. There's a difference. God can call us in our vocation to the occupation that we have, but it's what we do with that occupation that is our call. It's what we do with that occupation that is our call. And I believe that we are all called as Christians. It may be that God is calling you out of an occupation to another occupation where your vocation can be worked out a little bit better. Now, apparently for me, that's what God was doing to me, and I fought it for about 2.5 years. But I was still a shepherd. For those of you who didn't know, I was a sheep farmer. Another thing you may not know is, I shouldn't even say this, but you know, sheep are stupid. Sometimes when I look at God calling me a sheep, I'm thinking, okay, I mean, He is my shepherd and I'm the sheep like everybody else. And I'm thinking, God, You're so right. Sometimes we're not too smart. Thank You for being there for us and being a patient shepherd as we walk along our path. But I wanted to talk about that this morning in light of the text that we read. And I wanted to start, first of all, with this following Jesus and His call. Think about it. He was born as a babe in Bethlehem from a little boy to a carpenter. I wanted to talk about that a little bit, too, because probably the more proper translation of carpenter in the two texts in the New Testament where he is spoken of as being a carpenter's son probably is craftsman. And some think that Jesus was not a carpenter, but a mason. Why? In part, you look at the text that Jesus makes reference to, like being a cornerstone and that sort of thing. That's more of a mason kind of imagery that he's using. We don't know for sure. It doesn't really matter for us this morning, except to say he was a craftsman. Even at 12 years old, when he was in the temple, Jesus, I'm sure, was working for his dad as a craftsman, doing whatever it is that we're supposed to be doing and learning the craft very well. Yet, even at 12, I think Jesus was beginning to understand what his vocation was, his call. As he was there in the temple with those scribes, those religious leaders, and actually he was wowing them with the knowledge that he had of his Heavenly Father and the knowledge he had of God's Word already at 12 years old. But Jesus knew what his vocation was. Why did he wait till 30 years old to start his public ministry? Yeah, I asked that question. I'm sure he was ministering between 12 and 30. I'm sure he was doing a lot of things amongst those who were a part of his craft and his neighbors and that sort of thing. I'm sure Jesus was certainly letting them know about the things of God. But when he really came out in public ministry, why did he wait that long? Well, he was still doing his vocation, even if it wasn't in a public kind of arena. So he went from being a craftsman, a carpenter, a mason, whatever it was, to public ministry. At 30 years old, he was baptized. We could argue the necessity of it. You know, why did Jesus need to be baptized? Because he certainly didn't need to be baptized to represent the fact that he needed cleansed from his sin. But it does say in the scriptures that it was to fulfill all righteousness. Maybe it was to show humanity that Jesus too was also a human. Fully divine, fully human. And so John the Baptist baptized Jesus to let us know that the one who came as the divine Son of God came as a human being. And this was kind of the initiation into his public ministry. Because what happened shortly thereafter? He went into the desert, the wilderness, 40 days and 40 nights. He was hungry. He was tired. He felt the limitations of being a human. I mean, he felt a lot of the agony and the hurts and the pains and those sort of things that you and I would experience too. He was experiencing that himself in addition to the temptations from the devil himself. But during all of this time, Jesus knew what his vocation was, to bring glory and honor and praise to his Heavenly Father. He lives those 3 years in public ministry to an accused criminal. What a way to kind of end your career, huh? 3 years of public ministry, and I'm sure many years of ministry before that that maybe wasn't so public. And here he is, an accused criminal. He healed, he served, he loved, he forgave. And yet he was accused of disobeying the law. He's accused of being demon-possessed. He was accused of threatening to destroy the temple, which he wasn't talking about the physical temple. He was accused of blaspheming God. He even said, he dared say, I and the Father are one. Of course, that would have been considered blasphemy to the Jews. But he was following his vocation. And sometimes in following our vocation, it doesn't always mean smooth sailing, does it? And Jesus following his vocation as he was doing what he was doing while he was on this earth, he was doing what God wanted him to do. He showed the fullness of that love when he died on the cross at Calvary for us. Because he went from an accused criminal to Lord and Savior. He was tried and convicted without proof. His followers distanced themselves from him while he was on the cross. He died. And now he rose from the dead, and now they got it. In fact, in Galatians 6:14, Paul says to the Galatian church, "May I never boast of anything except the cross." Jesus was following his vocation. I wanted to move to Job real quick here and then kind of finish with you and me. Job's call. Now, what was Job's occupation? I would call him a CEO of a pretty large enterprise. You could call him a rancher, a farmer of some sort. But man, he had a lot of stuff going on, didn't he? He had camels and he had, he had cattle and he had sheep. He had all this stuff going on. He was an extremely wealthy man, had a large family. He was blessed materially. That was his occupation. But what we read about in Job 29, 11 through 17, is what Job's call was, what his vocation was, not his occupation. Isn't it beautiful what we read in that text in Job? Listen to this again, because the first time it was read, you might have been kind of in a zone. "Whoever heard me spoke well of me. Those who saw me commended me. I rescued the poor who cried for help, and the fatherless who had none to assist him." You see, he's following not an occupation, his vocation. "The man who was dying blessed me. I made the widow's heart sing. I put on righteousness as my clothing. Justice was my robe and my turban. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy. I took up the case of the stranger. I broke the fangs of the wicked and snatched the victims from their teeth." And it goes on from there. Job. You see the difference between an occupation and a vocation? His vocation was the same vocation you and I are called to. I believe we are called to make hearts sing. I believe we are called to watch out for the fatherless and the motherless. I believe we are called. It doesn't matter what your occupation is. And I'll tell you what, folks, I so appreciate you because you can reach people I can't reach. There are some people I can't reach that you can reach. And there may be some people that I can reach that you can't reach. But boy, it works so well together. When all of us realize that we're all called, we all have a vocation, and that vocation ultimately, if you put a description there, is to bring honor and glory to God and whatever we do. And you can do that in the context, I'm looking out here, I'm saying, mostly gray hairs. You can do that in retirement. What your occupation is right now, it's retirement. A lot of you are doing that. In your retirement, you're probably working harder than you were before. And a lot of what you're doing, a lot of what is being done in retirement from a lot of people that I see, is you're doing things that bring honor and glory and praise to God. Volunteering in some very wonderful and constructive kinds of ways because you're realizing what your vocation is. So this morning, I want us to realize what our vocation is, what our call is, because we're all called. And it wasn't how I misunderstood that missionary way back when I thought he was saying it was pastors and missionaries were called and everybody else was, what were we if we weren't called? Was the phone busy? But I think I misunderstood the missionary. I'm going to give them credit because I think they meant something more than what I heard. So sometimes if I say something and you're thinking that's weird, talk to me. Maybe I didn't mean it quite the way you heard it. So on this Labor Day Sunday, yes, we celebrate labor, work, occupations. But I want us to celebrate on this day our call. Our call to bring honor and glory and praise to God. Don't bemoan your position in life, whatever occupation you might have. Serve Him in whatever context you find yourself in. That's your vocation. That's your call right now. May not be your call down the road, but that is your call right now in that particular occupation. Maybe it changes down the road. Jesus knows your struggles. He knows what you're going through. But one thing that never changes in our life as believers in Jesus Christ is that call is constant. To bring honor and glory and praise to God in whatever context we find ourselves in. Just like Job was doing. Job, you probably wouldn't want his occupation at the time he said what he said. He was miserable, wasn't he? He was miserable. But he knew what his call was. Jesus knew what his call was. His call wasn't pretty, was it? I mean, for 3 years of ministry, it seemed kind of nice. Sometimes, sometimes not. He was serving. He was loved. Crowds came. They were wowed at what he knew. But you know, it turned south pretty quick. I don't mean Florida south, but it turned south pretty quick. But he knew what his vocation was. He knew what his call was. Sometimes the call brings us some not so pretty things, but nonetheless, our call, we should look to God and say, thank you, God, for giving me that opportunity to follow my call, my vocation, whatever the occupation is. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for calling every single person in this room who entrusts their life to you through Jesus Christ. That you've given them a vocation, a call, a summons to bring honor and glory and praise to you in any context they find themselves in. And that's every context imaginable to man can be used by you to bring glory and honor and praise to you. God, help us to follow our vocation no matter what our occupation is. And we give you thanks and praise. We give you honor and glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen.